Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Let's get it started. Official intro.
Hey, welcome everybody. Chalkcast number 77. We're here live from Korea. It's a sad rainy day though, unfortunately.
I think he's going to say it's a sad. It felt like...
It's a nice change. I don't mind it.
It felt like a going home day, to be honest, today, because...
It did.
We're about to talk about it, but we may as well get straight into it.
Let's get straight into
it. Watched the LCK Grand Finals yesterday.
Korea.
Goodness.
So
regional, essentially.
The reason we're saying it feels like going home days because usually we have the Grand Finals of the land. The next day we're flying home. So it kind of felt like subconsciously we're going home after going to a Grand Final.
Even this morning I was like, why does it still feel like we're leaving today? But we're not. We're leaving in 2 days.
Yeah.
We are still here.
So we're chilling. It's a bit rainy. But yesterday LCK Grand Finals, GNG taking on T1, Faker versus Chovy. Kian as well. I mean, let's run it back.
We're gonna have spoilers in this about that finals. If you do want to go watch it, then do that first and come back and hear us review it. But we were informed that the last time there was a 5-game series in an LCK Grand Final was in 2018.
6 years, 12 seasons, years. I guess.
There has been the last 12 finals have not gone to game five. They've been 3-1 or 3-0. I think the majority have been 3-0. So we got very lucky. We got to see a game five. It was unreal.
We got
every
a thriller.
Game was super close.
Yeah.
That's what we asked for. That's as soon as we were walking there, we're like, we just hope it's a game five.
We didn't care who won.
Going in, I didn't really mind, but after hearing the scream from the T1 fans after they won game two, because they tied the series after game two. T1 came they're the underdogs going into this. They won game two to tie the series. The roof nearly came off when they won a game. I would not have minded seeing the reaction if they won the series. That would have been crazy just to witness. But GenG were really good. They played so well. That Cassante looking overpowered up
there. Kian on Cassante is nuts. And there was 3 games in a row that Cassante was chosen twice by GenG. The last 2 games they won and they just didn't beat it. And it just...
Yeah,
two early kills in top. But let's dial it back before
we do like the recap of the event. Some people probably don't really know what the significance of Faker is. Stumpy actually tweeted at us.
Stumpy did
got 50 of the replies or 50 of the same reply.
Yeah, a lot of people had a spot on reply to him, detailing why Faker is the GOAT, probably of esports just in general. I know that's up for debate. A lot of other esports fans will want to like throw in their GOAT. Against Faker, but I'd probably say Faker personally.
Yeah, he's for me the esports guy.
So yeah, Stumpy tweeted, what is it that makes Faker so special? It's his first time watching the LCK. What extent is Faker the GOAT? Someone explain it to him. Spaceman and Chloe actually both replied to him amongst like a bunch of other people. They said 4-time world champion, most famous competitive gamer on the planet. Chloe says 11 years of straight up skill, been a pro for 11 years. He's never wavered from being one of the best. That's very true. He won the world championship in season 3 of League of Legends. That was before Rocket League existed. And he still made the world's final last year. This is
one world.
They have an annual world championship for League and he's won 4 of them. And he came second in the last one as well. Nearly won 5. So yeah, it's like...
No, they won the last world.
Oh wait, did they win the last one? Yeah. Was that his fourth?
Yeah, that was his fourth.
That was his fourth. Yeah. Okay, so he's won 4. Imagine Turbo Pulse won 4 worlds, but they were annual worlds, not like biannual.
I think the craziest part is he's just been at the top of his game for 11 years.
And just yesterday in the LCK final, and Korea's the biggest country for League of Legends. China's up there as well, but Korea is the favorite to win everything. So when you watch a Korean regional final, you're basically watching the level of a world's final. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It might as well be a world's final. And he was like carrying multiple games.
Yeah.
There were some other like nuts plays. I think the support play from
the thing with him, the thing with him as well is like he kind of fell off for at least had patches where he's kind of fallen off, but it'd be like if Turbo kind of just wavered off for a season, we're kind of like maybe not, and then he's back all of a sudden like Turbo was never the best player in the world, so you know what I mean, but Faker has been
Didn't Faker for a while, and I only follow League like you know a little bit these days, but I think for a while he was kind of just like playing more of a supporting role in the team that he was on.
Like, I mean, fall off, but like only compared to his standards.
He stopped making finals.
He would win every lane. He would like dominate every game. He was just the best player. But then, you know, he wasn't even the best player in his team at some points during his career. But yesterday there were games where he was the best player. Like he almost dragged them back into game one where they're way down. With a quadra kill, I don't even think the casters saw coming. We listen back in the clip and nobody sees this coming. They're calling it for Gen G and then suddenly Faker has a quadra kill. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they lost, which that game anyway. But it's pretty cool to see. And just in career as well, like the final, it's the thing that for me that's stuck out being so different to Rocket League or any other esport, pretty much the same as Counter-Strike, is like, these players are like
they're
gods,
superstars.
Like, and they're just absolute superstars. Like the aura that they have, like everyone just like as you were saying, people probably passing out when Faker's walking up onto the stage. Yeah. Like, you just don't get that in any other esport.
The pitch, the noise that you hear during a cheer for like Faker or T1 is
Faker
a
has
lot
all
higher
the...
pitch than Rocket League crowds. It's like a 50-50 ratio of male to female in the in the audience. The fangirls love Faker, safe to say.
They're
I think Rocket League players would be very jealous of that.
100%. Yeah, Faker has LeBron aura. And even if you went and had no idea about League, when you saw particularly T1 walk out,
the opening
you would you just were
there
like,
was something
oh,
about it.
There's something. You just thought, oh, we are in the presence of greatness. And I haven't felt that at an esports event, no matter who's there. Like they just, and they, there's something about how they're just so... I don't know, like Faker seems so robotic as well. Like he's not smiling. He's always just so locked in, so calm and composed. It's almost scary how calm he is. Yeah, I mean, he's just standing up there.
Baits the other team in and he's just dancing around with like two health. And, you know, they get a counter play off of it. And he just look up at the face cam and he's just like, yep, as I thought. Yep, no big deal. I'd be so gassed if I did that in League of Legends. Like when we play League and we do the smallest like good play, we're like, did anyone see that? Oh my goodness, did anyone see that? Look at me. Look what I just did. And he's just like, yeah, no big deal.
Yeah. But look, the game itself was crazy. But quick recap of the day. We got there sort of I think pre-show started at 2:40, 20 minutes before the first series. Got there at 2:40.
Basically.
Picked up our tickets from the guy that was sorting us out, the LCK. Big shout out to him, to SG. Mm-hmm. We couldn't really find where he wanted us to go to the ticket booth, which was really obvious.
We were pretty close.
We were close. He found us, gave us their tickets, and he said, just get in there. Like,
it's about to kick off.
So we ran through security, and then we walk out. Well, once we kind of found which zone, like which entrance to go into the stadium, we walked in there, and quickly we're like, well, this is pretty big. This is a big deal. Everyone was already in there.
It was
packed.
The lights. The lights were ridiculous. Everybody had their own little light.
You know? Everybody had their own little light. I love CJ's comment about like the arena being sold out, because he was saying like, you know, when LCK is sold out, you look around, it's like, okay, this is actually sold out. But in Rocket League, it's sold out, but you know, I just bought the code. I'm not going. I'm just getting the wheels.
I got some DLC,
actually,
baby.
Yeah. See, on that, the topic of those lights, like every seat in the venue had a light in it, on the seat, like kind of like it looked like a light. Actually, we've got some.
Yeah.
You guys took them back with you. So, yeah, imagine. Wait, this one actually still does.
You can
still, I think.
They all do. You can still click them.
I think this one still lights up. So everybody in the venue's got one of these, and depending on what's going on, they changed color. And everybody's
now they're a torch, but before you couldn't actually turn them off or on, they were just always on.
Yeah.
And so basically half the crowd had red ones, half the crowd had gold ones for Gen G and
colors,
T1, which was cool. But then say if like a dragon got killed or something. It all changed the same color. So got
like
killed.
an ocean drake would turn all the orbs to blue.
Yeah, barren, purple. And if there was an ace, the whole venue would turn the color of the team who just got like a clean ace.
It's so smart. They basically turn the entire crowd into additional lighting. And if you watch the opening ceremony, you'll see it. Like all the they're all like in sync with each other and stuff. It was perfect. And as soon as we exited the arena, it then turns off and just turns into a torch.
It was insane too, because it was actually like the foot we stepped out of the arena, it turned off.
Yeah,
like they had the exact length on it.
I wonder if they just like switched off like the color for everyone at that point. I don't know, but yeah. Either way, I thought to myself, would this work in Rocket League? And funnily enough, I think it would work in North America. I really do. I think if everybody at an NA event showed up with one of these, I think they'd all be for it. Because as long as it's not the color of like a Vitality, like they could like try and grab a red one for G2 or something.
Yeah.
I think they'd be all for it, but I don't know if it would work in EU because the Carmine Corp fans, the Gentlemates fans, Vitality fans, all the EU Ultra fans are just going to come in and be like, what is this? Like, I'm not going to use that. We brought our own drum, our own flag. I don't think it would work in large sections of the European crowd, which would look weird. There would just be like a zero light section where there are 1,000 Carmine Corp fans are. Another 500 lights over here. There would just be chunks of nobody using this.
Yeah, NA could do it.
I think NA could do it.
But half the crowd was T1, half the crowd was GNG, and what we didn't realize with the lighting, but what we didn't realize is that actually that half were the T1 side, and the other half were the GNG side as well.
Yeah.
So they all had their red like T1. They're like T1, T1, T1.
Yeah. As soon as they did it, it was like T1, T1, T1. Yeah, it was like, holy shit! So it's so cool.
There were definitely some T1 fans in the GNG section.
Yeah.
T1 were the crowd favorites, even though they're the underdogs.
We got in there, we're like, wow, this is massive, found kind of the section, then we walked down the stairs. It'll all come out in the vlog as well. We got heaps of content for that. Then we walked down and then we were like, oh my goodness, we're front row.
There's
just four seats front row for us three and Athena. And they're the only like four free seats in the entire stadium. And we're front row at an LCK Grand Finals. And just the fact that yesterday, like the day before,
so
we had
deserved.
No idea it was
so
on.
Deserved for us, really. So deserved. We earned that.
I mean, like 30 hours earlier, we didn't even know LCK Final was happening. Yeah. Shout out to, what was it, Useless on YouTube for letting us know.
Shout out Useless.
The biggest Fairweather fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 24 hours before, we had no idea it was on. The next day, we're front row Grand Finals with a sold out event, 15,000 people. So
it was incredible. And like, just the whole prestige of the opening ceremony and stuff. I hope one day Rocket League can match that.
The intro was so great. Yeah, I mean, they had an entire like not even a dance routine, but it was super coordinated with flags and stuff.
Check it out.
Yeah, they had a bunch of augmented reality stuff.
Yeah, I'll find the title of the video. There's like there's an opening ceremony video. If you go to the LCK Global channel on YouTube, so you go to LCK Global on YouTube, and then if you just go to their recent video, scroll down a bit, I'm pretty sure that they do. They have a Woori Bank 2024 LCK Spring Finals opening ceremony. Watch that video. It's 6 minutes and 47 seconds long. That is all opening ceremony for 6 minutes.
It was
nearly seven.
Yeah. And as soon as that started, we were like, okay, there's levels to this esport game. It was phenomenal. Legit.
That's got to be the best opening ceremony for an esport regional final.
Definitely the best I've seen. Yeah, it was crazy. The choreography, the lighting, just everything coming together, and just how the players came out, and then GNG were like coming up under the stage or whatever. That was absolutely wicked. Epic Prince, we didn't get recognised. I know that esports is big in Korea, but certainly Rocket League is not a thing in Korea. So people were probably like, who are these people that are sitting in the front row?
We were holding up signs. Rizzo had a sign that said Chalkcast. You had one that had a giant love heart on it, and I had LCK. But we were sitting in the opposite order, so it said Chalkcast Love LCK. And the cameraman came over to us and asked, what is that?
He started talking to his manager in his earpiece.
He was talking to the producer, like, so yeah, these guys, apparently they're like a podcast or something. He held up like the...
He's like, you guys YouTubers. We're like, yeah, YouTube,
yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. And then he looked up our channel, showed it in the camera to his producer. And I think his producer was like,
nah, who are these idiots? Like, that's not
good. Yeah, I think we would have gotten on the stream if we said, we are LCK.
I think it was probably the YouTube.
Risky. They're like, we don't have time to go and watch all of these videos and see that these guys aren't like, you know.
But we had a chance for over a million people to see Chorkas Loves LCK.
And that was enough. We got to talk to the camera
there, ready to go.
He was ready. He wanted it. His producer did.
The thing is, we could have had a sign that said, like, I want a bang faker, and we would have got on. Like,
I want a PC bang faker, which would be really good.
Yeah, it was... like, but the fact that it was chalk, they just had no idea, because all the other signs are that everyone's holding up are obviously in Korean, and we were just these random guys holding up an English sign.
They're really artistic as well. Our signs looked terrible.
So they were probably they were pretty cautious. Maybe they thought there was some kind of, like, it wasn't going to be appropriate.
They've got no idea to like what kind of podcast can't go and watch. Yeah.
They have no idea who we are.
What kind of content are these guys making? We should have gone for a can we PC bang with Faker, and then maybe they'll be like, oh, they want to go to the PC cafe with Faker. That's really cute.
We should have asked, like, Faker, like, will you play Aram with us or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, now we have all the good ideas. We have to come back.
Yeah.
To be fair, they made the right call. Yeah, if they checked us out, they would have realized we were pretty dodgy. But no, we did get a photo. There was, like, an official photographer on the floor, so we got a photo of us holding up
somewhere.
The signs. Yeah, Athena has tweeted a void if you want to see the song.
So we might be in, like, a Riot album.
Yeah,
we're
probably in an
like
album.
That.
But not on the mainstream.
That's our claim to fame.
Yeah. But if anybody knows of a Riot album, like, when it comes out, like, a photo album, let us know, because we need to search it.
Flicker.
But the best part is that we could have done, if we really didn't care, was we actually made two signs each. And what we were thinking, like, in a perfect world,
well,
if we were allowed to.
Gen G signs, like, we're in the Gen G section.
Yeah, we had
so Gen G logo on them.
Yeah, and our idea was we have, like, we get on the mainstream with, like, we love LCK, Chalk loved LCK, and then we drop that sign, and behind it is First Killer Chronic, apparently Jack.
With the Gen G logo.
holding up Gen G
section.
So we had First Killer Chronic and at Jack signs as well.
The cameraman was so nice, we're like, oh no.
Yeah,
no,
we can't.
We can't do that, because if we do that, then maybe he gets in trouble, and they were really nice.
Yeah, it was like a quick pan, I think we would have.
Yeah, we would have done it.
But, like, he talked to us, had a conversation, was trying to get permission. We're like, okay, let's not mess with this guy.
Let's not screw this guy over.
But that would have been absolute content. I think we got a photo of our First Killer Chronic app, Jack, or Athena might have taken. I think we did it for the vlog. You're checking it out on the vlog.
Yeah, speaking of that vlog, so that is going to be part of the total trip vlog, the total, like, Korea trip vlog, which we have done so much already for that, and more to come. And that is for 700 patrons. We're currently at 662. So 700 in Dusseldorf was to get JNaps a mullet. Now it's to get Fernando to edit the vlog of the entire Korea trip, which is a lot more than we thought it was going to be. Like, we didn't think we're going to go to LCK finals or, you know, StarCraft finals. I don't think we even knew we were going to a baseball game until after we committed to doing this.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that we've recorded
behind the scenes at LCK Grand Finals. Patrons. Yeah, get involved for that. More goals here as well. Merch would be nice at 800. So, 750. 800 for merch, 750.
Yeah, 800 for merch. 800.
750 was the food tour.
Ah, yes.
Which, there's some food content which we will keep. Well, there's some we've done so much. The total trip vlog will not have, like, the food content in it or the baseball content.
I've never done this much in 5 days in my life. We've hit the ground running. It's been
we've
superb.
We've been cooking.
But anyway,
we're also, like, how long have we been live? After this, we're going to be recording bonus episodes for the Patreon in Korea. We've got some to do today, some to do tomorrow, so that the content on the Patreon, just a regular weekly content that's on there, all the videos for the next, like, I think 8 weeks are going to be recorded here in person.
Yeah, get involved.
Somebody miles better than online.
Black Rocket also said that. Or he's asking, do opposite fans despise each other, or is it wholesome? But I honestly have no idea. Like, people were sitting, like, they're intertwined with each other.
It was super
but
wholesome.
If people were talking,
it was super wholesome.
If they were talking so shit, sad. I would never know.
Yeah.
There was no, like, there was no masses of security either. Like, genuinely.
Yeah, can I just say something about the venue itself, right? Yeah. Can I just say something real quick?
This is the first thing Rizzo says when the team's end of the stage.
Are you said you had a clear line to Faker?
I did have a clear line to Faker. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I was going
to... I was talking about how, like, the in front of us, there was just, like, one of these, like, you know, cordoned off areas, like, at an airport.
Oh, like, I know what you're talking about.
Definitely just, like, you know, make a runner for the stage and get on there, and nobody's going to do that.
Which no one...
I was looking around, I was like, what's crazy is all there is like, this little rope. Like, anybody could run under it. Like, we were front row right next to the rope. I was
anyone could run
Run under that, you're go straight stage. To Faker, and there was, like, nobody blocking. I was mind blown. Everybody was like, that's fine.
Everybody
nobody questions it.
Just like, yep, we're just not going to do that. But yeah, there is also not.
It's just like, you can't have that. Like, I feel like just about anywhere else.
Teams are like, we're all sitting down on stage, and Rizzo just turns to me. He's like, I think I could get to Faker before. Like, mentally, he's got this thought in his head of like, I could just make a run or just jump.
I could just
dive bomb.
Like, what? Like, who's gonna stop me? The cameraman that's up there? Like, I don't think there's anybody there.
I wonder if they've got like some security hiding in like all black, like next to the stairs. You can't see them. And they're ready to just absolutely.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
As you come in,
I took a good look.
But
yeah, super respectful culture. And also another thing that I really liked was that there you actually could not bring anything besides bottled water to your seat.
As
I was looking around, because I was like, man, I'm hungry. I started looking around. Nobody's eating. Nobody's like chugging a beer or anything like that.
Yeah, nobody's
and I was like, I kind of like
chips.
This. Yeah,
nobody's
exactly.
This stinky like cheese and onion crisps.
Between
like,
games, fries. You either go outside because you can just leave the stadium and then come back. You go outside to get snacks or you just go to the stadium also is serving stuff. But it's like you go, you eat outside. People just wait outside, eat their stuff, drink their stuff, and then come back in. The only thing you bring in is a bottle of water.
And there was almost no line for the beer outside because people wanted to get back in and watch the games. There's not really any time to drink a beer, I guess. That didn't stop us, though. In fact, Rizzo tried to queue for a beer, and he accidentally got in line for a reaction test, like,
oh my god!
Thing. And now he's got a stamp on the back of his hand saying,
nah, we have to, yeah, we have to do that story. We have to do that story justice. Funniest thing ever. So me and Johnny, you know, as league knowers, I was like, this game's over.
Yeah,
like,
this game's over. Let's get out of here.
So let's get a quick head start on the beer line. So we rush outside, grab a beer.
First in line,
grab our beers. We go outside. Rizzo messages like, oh, what's going on? Where are you guys? We're like, oh, we're outside. We just got our beer. Rizzo comes outside, and by the time he gets out, there's already, you know, people outside. There's a lineup, and me and Johnny, like, sort of at this point, looking for merch, kind of walk around. We see Rizzo just in this line at the beer tent.
In the line at the beer tent.
And we're like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just going to grab a brewski. We're like, yeah, no worries. So we leave Rizzo, go look for a bit more merch, and then we come back a couple minutes later, and Rizzo's still, like, around the corner of this beer tent. At the same spot in line, and he's just kind of waiting, just waiting patiently. Just
well,
like,
that time you guys came around the second time, right? That's when I left.
Yeah.
Well, we saw you leaving. Yeah, we saw you leave. Been a bit to like, to give him a can of beer. It's just like they're just handing it to you; they're not pouring it.
Yeah.
So what Rizzo didn't realize is because it was like a beer tent, and Rizzo's lined up around the corner, so he can't actually see the front of the line or where this line goes to. He's just assuming it's beer. Little did Rizzo, he's got a stamp on his wrist. He had lined up for a reaction test game. The beer line was empty. There was no one ordering beer. He could have
I waited in line for like 7 minutes, I feel like.
He could have just walked around the corner and just grabbed a beer, but he was lining up for some reaction.
The worst part about it is I'm sitting in that line, like 5-7 minutes goes by, and I hear like, and it was the sound of the reactor test, like something falling, and like people trying
like
to catch it.
It's
and
like
I peek
like...
around the corner, I'm like, this thing ain't moving. I'm like, what's going on?
It was just like, imagine, actually, you guys can see the lights off the screen. But yeah, there's just five, like, things that can fall and you've got to catch them. And he was lining up for this. And yeah, you got a stamp to, like, you know, confirm that you did line up for this. And now it's just your idiot stamp that you have to wear proudly.
<It's> like,
<so funny. laughs> You're just a walking ad.
Just branded for
beer.
Cats.
Yeah, at no point when they were getting his height, weight, passport measurements degrees, I think, man, this is a lot of steps to get a beer. He's still got a stamp on his head. Show the skinny tenure. You can probably see the stamp.
Oh, yeah, turn it from here. Yeah,
you can probably see he's got a massive stamp because he lined up for the wrong
How
thing.
Yes. Yeah, about it too, and I got stamped. I was like, I remember the other guy's getting stamped.
It was just so funny.
And he had to like chug his beer because we had to go back in and watch game five. So he's like, oh, I better get rid of this thing. Unbelievable.
It was
scold that bad boy.
It was a late. But the thing with that is, because you can only bring water in, like, and this is, again, a testament to Korea. Everything is so clean.
Yeah.
And and everyone just picks up after themselves.
Everybody
even at the
trash.
Even for us at the end, usually, you know, you had, like, an empty cup or something. You're like, oh, well, that'll be fine. Like,
yeah,
the cleaners
leave the
look
cup,
after
leave
that.
The posters that we took, yeah, maybe the plastic from the light.
Yeah, the posters or the lights. But when we left, we're like, we're picking up everything because everyone else is picking up everything. Like, we need to leave this place as
we
found it.
Yeah, take your own shit and go. I mean, I love that. I do.
It's really good.
Science. But the other thing is, like, they change the bags in the bins so regularly. There's always space in the bins, which that's the other problem at, like, Rocket League events I've been to, is even if you do take your, like, empty cup with you, good luck finding anywhere that has space to put it. Like, you're just going to be carrying it. All the bins are full and overflowing onto the floor. So it's, yeah, really clean, really organized. The whole place, very respectful.
Mm.
If you do accidentally align your own personal Korea trip with the LCK Grand Finals, I can't recommend it enough. I would absolutely suggest that you go there. Even if you don't really follow league, just for the spectacle itself, it's amazing.
Yep, get involved. It was a phenomenal day. You check it out in the vlog.
That was the best esports event I've ever been to. Sorry, Rocket League.
Riz is number one.
Don't hate to say it, but that was incredible.
No, it really was.
Yeah.
I think genuinely, though, for me, it would be top five esports event for me. Because I'd have to put, like, the Deuce. And
yeah, the deuce
and also London season 5 way back in the day. I wasn't working, which was really nice. I was just like chilling at that event, so that's probably like my favorite event, because I didn't have work to do. That's gonna always be hard to beat the famous Rocket League season 5, but that no, this was right up there. It was like
I'd probably put the Deucey one, and then
you're right, yeah, top two match. Actually, I like season 7 New Jersey. That was
season
good.
7 you liked?
Yeah, that was good.
That was your favorite.
What about it?
Oh, just the atmosphere.
Oh, this is
just right up until the final. You're having the time
before
of your
life. Or after game one?
Before game one.
Yeah.
As soon as game one happened, it was actually
well
a little bit
before
downer.
Before game one. Before game one, I was like, damn, these guys are going to win. Anyway, LCK, great event.
Yep.
The opening ceremony, everyone was saying from watching online that it was the best they'd seen. Obviously not a world's opening ceremony, but for like a regional. Yeah,
for a regional opening ceremony, it was crazy. It was crazy.
And it was a great day. Check it out in the vlog as well. Patreon.com/Chalkcast. If we can hit 700, the whole travel vlog, you guys will see us at the baseball at the LCK.
Well, the baseball vlog is already happening.
Oh,
That's a separate thing. Baseball vlog is coming out. That's like a one video. And then we'll also have, well, I think Korean food tour is 750. So that's like, what is it, 85-ish patrons away. That'll be its own video. We've got a lot of recordings of me persuading Rizzo and CJ to eat things they don't want to eat, which I very much enjoyed. I don't know if they enjoyed it. But yeah, 700, which is, what is that now, 35-ish patrons away? That'll just be like the everything else, like a vlog, which is a lot. Yeah. That's going to be quite a long video at this rate.
But yeah, that's probably it from, that's Korea talk for today's stream.
I want to say, never mind, not worth it. Yeah, that's basically it for Korea talk.
What are you going to say?
No, it's not that good.
We did go to Korean barbecue again.
We did.
We're back.
Really good. We are
that
still
was great. Back. That was probably, it's great. Great. Favorite Korean barbecue place, that place. Shout out to them in Gangnam.
Opa. Yeah. It is odd because we do love Gangnam Korean barbecue. Yeah.
We do, yeah.
No, it's crazy because all the Korean barbecue is good, but there's still others that are like a step above the others. Yeah. But it's all good.
There's still levels. No, they're all phenomenal. And like we could do that every night, genuinely, and I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't get bored.
I blow ass. You are an incredible viewer of this stream. We appreciate you. How many tourists? It's not very touristy. Like there's touristy spots.
We're not going to tourist places. Like we went to the palace. Like
there
that
was
obviously
a
tourist
place. I heard people speaking French to the palace. I heard people speaking Spanish.
Yeah, but compared to like
Chinese,
going to Italy,
I heard Japanese. Like it's mostly like you're just listening. I'm not like staring at people.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of languages of the palace. A lot of Japanese,
but
Chinese.
What I mean is like compared to going to Italy, you cannot move because there's just 5 million Americans at like the Trevi Fountain or the Colosseum or something.
They're all looking for McDonald's.
Yeah, like it is insane. Well, whereas this place, you just walk around. There's
now
not
you
many
mentioned
people
the McDonald's. There's the Coffee Bean. Like the Coffee Bean is a chain, and I think it's in the US. I've seen Coffee Beans a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
But we went into the Coffee Bean and I saw like US people.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like foreigners basically. Mm-hmm. But like anywhere else, we go to like another cafe, coffee shop, like there's not, it's always like locals.
Mm.
It's kind of hard to find foreigners, I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah. 100%.
Unless you go to those like the palace, the Coffee Beans. Yeah. Like it depends where you go. I'm sure if we went to the Shake Shack across the street, we would see some foreigners.
Yeah. We haven't I guess we've not really been doing that too much. We've mostly been just going to food spots that actual local Koreans like. We're just trying to blend in as best we can. we're not doing a good job, but we're trying our best.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they look at us like, oh, these guys probably live here. These guys are locals.
I did know how to ask for a menu in Korean, though. This is like one of my things I've learned here. I knew please is just say oh, and menu is just menu pan. So you say menu pan just say oh, and they'll give you a menu.
Menu pan just say oh.
Menu pan just say oh.
There you go. Yeah.
Fluent.
Coffee just say oh.
Coffee just say oh.
Coffee please.
Coffee please.
Although I don't think Korean for coffee is coffee. I'm just guessing. Yeah. Soju just say oh.
No, make
soju please. It's a. No, they're very nice. It's not one of those, like, I've been to a lot of countries where I try and speak the language badly. Well, I don't try to do badly, but I do end up doing badly. And then the person will just, like, either ignore me or respond in English. But here, no, they'll hear us, like, fumble a Korean word, and they'll reply in Korean with the, you know, the same word. Very, very kind. Oh, quick, Echo, we've got to stop leaning in. Okay, I'm gonna pause.
Okay, is mine echoing?
Okay, what?
Maybe it's
Am I still echoing? What if I do this? Hello? Testing.
Turns away.
We do need to
He's been shunned.
We need to talk about
I'm good.
Something RZA said. I'm good now?
It's good now.
Okay, so...
Is it because yours is leaning into mine?
No, I think it's because I must be coming... If I'm echoing, then I must be in both of them.
Yeah,
so okay. I must be picking up on that. I'm going to look away. Okay, so EXO, Oli, and Rezzy, Rocket League Talk, have signed up as jobless for EU Qualifier 4. Jobless. Not moist.
Can I just say something, guys? Before this podcast started, CJ saw this and immediately turns to me and says, as soon as that stream goes on, the friendship's over.
What's going on, Rizzo?
No friends.
What's going on with
no
the,
friends to be had on the
what's
pod.
What's going on with the team?
Look, I said what I said.
What's going on with the boys?
I said what I said.
Jobless. What's going on with the... You'd think, you know, I don't know how contracts work, but you think that if they... We're a part of Moist that they'd sign up under Moist Esports.
Yeah.
That, you would. Yeah, that would be likely, yeah. I would think.
Mm-hmm. So you'd probably say if they sign up as jobless.
Right.
That they have been kicked or not re-signed.
I think logically, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm. So if Rizzo said confidently on the timeline that Moist are staying in Rocket League, who on earth are Moist acquiring? That thinks Poab.
I didn't say that. Now all I said was that Moist are not looking to exit.
Not looking to exit Rocket League. Oh.
They're on a brief hiatus of Rocket League, and they are looking to jump back in, but the timing is not right at the moment.
No, really, was and the with, language on well, that. The language on that comment, not looking to exit. That could just mean they're not instigating the exit.
No, that'd
be or. Maybe well, it means that they're staying in Rocket League because they're still going to have a creator in Rocket League.
Okay, no, I'm not beating around the bush with that.
The technicality.
Yeah, technically they did an exit because I'm still here, guys. So, no, not guys, like that.
So wait, Moist, they've dropped their Apex team. They've dropped their
That's
Rocket.
An unfortunate circumstance,
that's
unfortunate. The Apex
they,
team.
They
That's
they purposely dropped their Apex team because they didn't want them. They dropped sure. their Rocket League teams that didn't want them.
Sure.
What's going on with Moist, brother?
What do you mean? Am I next? Maybe they don't know.
Oh, dear. Blinked twice, then Moist appeared. Oh, a picking up an NA team. He has been blinking this whole time. I've noticed it. Yeah, is there anything you can actually say publicly about your organization?
I started doing an interview. No, I would just say they're on the lookout.
Yeah, they're on the hunt.
Yeah, on the hunt is a good way to say it, actually. They're on the hunt.
So,
cool.
Let's see what teams do not have an org. Well, the only
I would like to hear the CJ Johnny theory craft here.
Yeah, we are.
if I speak more, big trouble.
So obviously, G2, SSG, Luminosity, TSM, OG, Gen G all have teams. Matey, they've got
maybe a buyout's possible.
NRG's got an org. Yeah, could be a buyout. But we've also got like. Young Whippersnappers, no org. Pirates on a Boat, no org. Omelette, no org. Snowman, no org.
G2. They're looking at G2.
Really?
Yeah.
G2.
G2. And D1.
We stick.
LCK.
They do need... No, Moist need to get an LCK. Okay. Everybody needs to get an LCK. What are we doing? But okay. The highest ranking NA team in points that doesn't have an org is Pirates on a Boat. Highest ranking EU team.
Poab.
Yeah, Poab is the NA team with the most points. Magnifico is not an org. That's an EU team. Or that are fifth in points.
Is Magnifico not an org?
No, Magnifico is not an org. I don't think. I think Magnifico is just a Magnifico.
Oh, they got a good logo for a non-org.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, Magnifico's not an org, is it? I didn't think it was an org. But yeah, Poab are the highest NA team in points that don't have an org. Poab are pretty good. I kind of like.
It's just whether Moist go for a team based on points or based on potential.
I mean, what do they want to do? If Moist want to make a LAN, what's a higher LAN percentage chance picking up Poab in NA or picking up Magnifico in EU? And trying to go against the bench.
You'd obviously have to lean to Poab.
Yeah, I would say so.
Or they pick up an OCE team.
Yeah.
Now, why the hell would they do that, CJ?
Well, that's pretty true, actually, I guess. Well, you know, Lachlan's in OCE. He's a big YouTuber. Charlie might want to get involved.
That's true. That's a good point, actually. Link up.
They could link up and dominate the region. You know, you can take an entire region. It's a power play.
It is a power play.
Well, Poab were only 1 point off the four-way tie last split. They're not far off. But wasn't there like some kind of rumor with Andy from Poab not staying or joining someone else? What's going on with Poab? Chat, help us out here.
I think that one was a rumor and then it got like tossed because I think that was like a Shopify rumor, but then Shopify stuck. Shopify so then sticking. Andy stuck or something like that. It was something along those lines where like, there was going to be moves, and then basically one team stuck, so everybody's like, okay, I guess we're going to stick. And then, like, four moves didn't happen because of that.
SR and Poab are both sticking. Okay.
I've got a question, an esportsy question, about this.
Okay.
You know how orgs can merge, you know, like the whole org merging. What is stopping two orgs from picking up one team just for naming rights? Could you say, hey, G2, we'll pay you to be, like, for them to be G2 Moist.
Like,
just the Rocket League team.
Like, G2, yeah.
Just
yeah,
the
you
Rocket
could,
League team. What's
but I think, like, what's the... What's you got to think about, like, the trade-off. What's the benefit? And then, like if you're G2 Moist, sure,
jersey?
both of you get the name.
You have a half jersey. It's like G2 Moist.
Who streams it? Who streams, like, the day one streams? That's so complicated. I feel like there's no
okay,
way
that's not complicated.
Who streams it?
Just put Charlie on the G2 channel in that case.
Yeah, you can
well,
just
the G2 there's no way Moist would
well, like you can,
G2
you can
channel.
Still have...
Well, if you're talking about a G2 Moist collab, then sure.
Like, but, like, you can have an official broadcast, but Charlie can still watch it. It's going to get more viewers.
That's
than
actually,
it's kind
yeah,
of
what
he does. He watches
know,
your
see,
thing, so it's like yeah, the same thing. I think that could be a way to get on it, get a part of a top team without...
Get on.
...having to pay for a top team.
No, I don't think that's a bad idea, and that's what Moist does with Valorant, their MXS. Which is Moist X Shopify.
There you
really?
Go.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is a thing.
Because what happened, I think it was during an offseason or between a split or something, is like all the players from Moist wanted to play with the Shopify players and then like they all wanted to play together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so like complicated they're just like, why don't we just like merge?
Yeah, that's what that's what
instead of like
thing.
Trading these players
so
and doing buyouts to like both teams, they're
that's
like, why don't we just
saying.
Create one team? And
so maybe
that's
they'll
they
do
did.
That again. They've already done it once, Moist. Maybe they will pick up.
It's possible.
And it happens in Apex as well because a lot of the players just like get signed individually to orgs,
yeah.
And then they just like I remember when I was on Renegades, we had an Apex players, and like they were playing with like Cloud9 players. But it's just what you do. Like you just. Like two on Renegades, one was on Cloud9, and you just play with a third. Like your third doesn't have to be signed.
Well, the biggest benefit, and I don't think G2 really gets a reward out of this or like gets any benefit from it, is like the main thing an org wants is like that fan base. And somebody like Charlie, by any creator org, right, is going to instantly bring a fan base to an org if you're like MXS, right? Instantly it's like, oh, now I can root for Shopify because Charlie roots for Shopify sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah.
Actually, for MXS specifically, it's actually, like, Ludwig. Ludwig is more so, like, the Valorant side.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's, like, they're able to instantly root because Ludwig sits there and watches with Tarek.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, okay, now I'll just root for MXS because
so that's what
Ludwig's doing it.
From that, if they were to merge, G2 might...
That would be the main benefit, but I think G2 kind of already has a fan base. I think they could benefit obviously.
Well, I mean, they've got a fan base, yeah, but they don't have, like, that huge creator backing.
It's a completely different thing. I think they would add a lot of fans to G2 in that scenario.
Like, G2 comes from, like, the G2 org comes from the generation of orgs where they were just orgs. Like, the org was, you know, they were trying to create, like, brands that viewers would follow so that you could, you know, just be a fan of an org in whatever game they're in. And it's only recently that the creator-backed orgs have shown that, you know, there's a better way to do that, and that's to have a huge creator, you know, be the biggest fan for all those, like, instead of just, like, having a broadcast, a professional broadcast, have a creator view party, like, and more people are interested in watching. And G2, I don't think G2 have that.
That's what I'm saying. I think there could be a little, might have opened up a can of worms there.
It's possible, but also it's one of those things where, like, the G2 org themselves is, like, a pretty damn big org.
Yeah.
It's much harder to make it. Like, it's easier to just do it with a smaller. It's like, hey, we got fans.
Yeah,
but it's like, we want fans.
It could be a good way for, obviously, the French don't need more viewers, but for a way for, like, French orgs to get, like, more of an English or worldwide fan base.
They don't care about that. They don't need that.
That's actually a good point.
They're so good. But it could be.
They just got Michelin.
Yeah,
they're good. They got the Michelin money.
That's true. Yeah, they got the Michelin man.
Anyway, there's options there. But what were the other... Oh, we need to talk about Realize. Realize.
Oh, yeah. What's a Realize tweet again?
The last thing we said on Chalked was how, obviously, he got replaced by Tho. But now Realize has come out and said, well, actually, not only that, but his tweet said he got told on the last day of the transfer window. So now he's LFT.
So is he LFT, like, as in just looking for a team that can no longer sign up because...
Well, I guess now he can't join, like, a team with points because it's outside the transfer window. So now he's looking to just make a team because you'd have to reset your points.
Because outside of the transfer window, you can still
sign
up.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So now he's just looking to sign up. But
he can still find a team, just not anybody who has
any points. Yeah.
Isn't LCT kind of in the same boat?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Mm. So
we might see a team with him, LCT, and
Revenge Arc.
Somebody else.
But all they can do is make
them. Now, if there's one team that I would love to see the best import player of all time going to APAC and joining, it would be Realize LCT plus one. Like, imagine some absolute
get CJ over there
from Europe.
Baller.
Just over there.
Baller.
Get me over there.
Get that Revenge Arc going. It would be really, really interesting.
Yeah,
APAC's already been the most interesting APAC. Version of APAC we've ever seen, so wouldn't mind to see more of that.
Yeah, get involved. Yeah, it sucks to hear that for him. And again, I wasn't
also, like,
a fan of
getting even notified like one day with the transfer window left. Is if there's one day in the transfer window, most of these teams are going to be locked anyway.
Yeah.
The teams with points are going to be like,
yeah,
okay, Realize is available, but we've already locked, or it's kind of too complicated to try to make a change with. You know,
communication is so bad
to
in esports, isn't it? Like, but teams, like, just don't talk to each other.
But also looking at the other side of the coin, though, if we were, you know, a team in RLCS and you guys were trying to, you know, remove me from the roster, understandable, and then trying to get a new player at the last minute, but you're not sure if it's going to go through, you wouldn't want to tell me that and then have me leave, go get another team, and then your guys' transfer falls through. Now you're 2 out of 3 with no third, and I've got a new team.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's
you
protecting
know,
yourself.
That was the exact Kronobi scenario.
Yeah, so if you two were looking out for yourselves, which I'm sure is what happened with Elevate, with Gladiators, all these teams, there's the kind of motivation not to tell a third player because you need that as a backup. If your trade falls through, if, like, the transfer doesn't work, then you actually still have a team. Otherwise, you're left with no team. You lose all your points. So I can kind of get it. It's just it's almost like inevitable. It will always happen. It sucks, but it will always happen. It doesn't matter how long the transfer window is. This will always happen in the final days. Last minute transfer moves. Something goes through. Players informed last second. It's a tale oldest time in Rocket League. It's not going to stop. It's going to keep happening. It'll keep happening as long as we have the 2/3 rule, basically.
Yeah, the two guys are going to look after himself.
Which, my solution for this that I would like to propose, since Blaster and I are watching the podcast and changing the format.
Since Blaster are Patreon members.
Let's look down
the
camera.
Here's the solution.
Let's talk to him.
Player points. So if we were a team and we played split one, we accumulated a bunch of points together. Let's say that we're in Elevate's position. We go to the major. We're number one in points. And then you guys kick me. I now have 0 points. I am, like... You know, if a new team picks me up,
you're useless.
I'm worth 0 points. Well, however, imagine we'd accumulated, let's just say, 30 points throughout the whole split. I don't know if that's, like, close to what they got, but let's say we got 30. I would own 10 of those points. You guys would own 10 each. And if you kicked me, you would lose 10 points. So you might pick up a player who's got five points, but now you're on 25, and I take my 10 with me.
I don't mind
the
it.
Other teams with points would be like, we need to get
he's
that
a 10 pointer
because he's a 10-point player.
It also encourages rosters to actually stick, because a lot of times you're not going to want to trade for the 5-point player.
Like, get rid of your 10-point player for this like hotshot named Zen who's got 0 points. Like, come on. You want to stick for the end of the season. So I want to see players own the points themselves, not the, you know, 2/3 of the team own the points. Oh, congratulations. Unlucky, you're kicked and now you've got 0 points. Nah, they should be able to take those points with them.
Yeah.
There's been
add it to whatever team they join or start.
There's been a lot of discussion recently just in general about how, I mean, it's been for a while, but just how annoying it is how consistently teams make changes and it's like very hard to follow. And people don't like it because of it. But I don't know, like, I don't watch other esports that religiously to know how many times people make roster swaps. But is it the same amount? Because it's like one roster swap a year, right? There's one trade window, essentially.
But the thing is, in regular sports, when you make trades and stuff, there's a lot of, like, financial and other things that happen. But in Rocket League, you can just, like, you're out. I don't have to pay for you anymore. Like, contract over. It's free to do. So there's no real punishment or, you know, win-loss scenarios, which is why someone said, like, individual points would be fundamentally wrong for a team esport, but it's actually like that. It's actually the other way, because it's encouraging.
It would be perfect.
It's encouraging teams.
Yeah,
to
it's encouraging you to be a team.
Yeah, there's no reason to. Yeah,
let me explain it again with the actual, you know, Elevate situation, or no, sorry, the Gladiator situation. They're picking up Tho, right? Tho in APAC RLCS has accumulated 0 points. So if you're making cross region trades like this, he would be worth 0. And they get him on the team, they would lose all of the, well, they'd lose 1/3 of the points.
Makes it more
from
interesting.
Realize.
Little so handicap.
What did they actually accumulate? Let me pull up the real numbers.
Like,
see, because Elevate were, or rather, Gladiators, I get them mixed up because they kind of like changed orgs in the offseason.
Yeah, a little swap.
They finished second in APAC, this split. And obviously the number one APAC team was Elevate. They went to the LAN. They both dropped one player each. Elevate were on 45 points. They dropped LCT. Now, in this theoretical world where the players own their own points, Elevate would go drop down to 30 points. And then Gladiators, sitting on 37, might be thinking, hey, why would we bench Realize?
We're now
the number one team. So it's kind of like you're risking it if you're picking up a, you know, ZPS who's worth 0 points and picking up a Tho who's worth 0. It's like they're gambling on this split if you do that. And then Realize, who's worth 15, suddenly all the other teams, Chapati Dream, Detonator, they're thinking, hey, we grab Realize, now we're going to gain points because he's worth more points than whatever third we're replacing him with.
Yeah.
It gives the player more stability. Players who do well in split one have a much better chance of doing well in split two, which I inevitably want.
It's also just so much harder to, like, follow the league, I guess, in a way, just because, ZPS... like you said, grabbing somebody with 0 points, like the poop, you grab the poop, and then it's...
You don't want to grab the poop.
It just doesn't make sense for him to just transfer like that in the middle of the season. It's such a weird move. Like,
it would reduce
such an odd
incentive
one.
For that
it's hard to
happen.
Follow.
It would reduce, like, teams would have less incentive to do that because now you're gambling points. You're putting yourself at a disadvantage. You're losing 1/3 of your points if you pick up, like, a other region player. Because that would, again, it would remove the incentive for cross-region transfers mid-season, especially from, like, NA and EU. And no, I don't think the points earned in NA should count outside of NA. If you earn like points in the NA split one, and then you change region, you're zero. You're back to zero.
Somebody said, yeah, but a bad team could just pick up a good player, then just make major. But the thing is,
it would discourage you from dropping
the good player.
And
having that player available.
And the good player would still have, like, even if they were, if realized in the situation got benched and he's worth, you know, like whatever 37 divided by 3 is, like, what, 9.3 or something. It's like 12. He'd be worth 12 points. He could still take those 12 points that he's worth to another team, and, like, they could pick him up. Or he could, like, you know, start his own team. Now they've got 12 points from him. Maybe it's like another player from another team, and they all come together with the points they've individually earned, and they're like, hold on, we're in the running. You know, they're still in with a shot.
Yeah.
LCT worth 15. Realize 12. That's already on 27, and they've not even picked up a third. Meanwhile, Gaming Gladiators are down to 26. Elevate's down to 30. They're in the mix immediately.
Yeah.
LCT
yeah.
and Realize could just team up with literally anyone.
Like the third player from there. The third.
Because
place.
They are
so now they're on zero.
They
earned
the
Elevate's
points.
On 45. They're at the race.
Yeah,
because
they're top players. They earned the points and they should still have them. But if you do move regions, you don't carry the points over, because otherwise you could have someone pick up an APAC player. to go to NA and make the major.
Play SSA for the first split and then take them over.
It's like how they use global points for like overall seeding. Like there were APAC players going to Europe. Mm-hmm. Was it like CMAS or something? Or SIGMS? Was it SIGMS?
SIGMS, yeah. Yeah, SIGMS.
He went back to EU or NA.
He went back to NA and then
and had like the he was like the highest seed of the tournament because he had his APAC points from last season.
Yeah, that's again, that's just like another example of why points you earn in one region should count for nothing if you change region. You're back to zero. But hey, guys, if you think we're cooking right now and that, you know, we could get a nice little change for last season, again, off the back of the Chalkcast format, points distribution, masterclass, could we get a one in chat? If we're cooking with this,
I think people are saying it'll make you cheer for individuals, but it's not about that. It's just about like stability for the top teams. It'll make them think about changes more.
It also helps the orgs.
It helps the orgs, and also it means that if you're going to make a move like that to someone on 0 points, it's like you're getting handicapped. But like, it's like, are you going to make the ballsy move? You know, like you want to pick up Zen, who's got 0 points, but he could be the best player in the world. Like when he was coming in, so you sacrifice a little bit because you're picking up a new player, but that handicap might mean you get better results and then get more points in the long run.
It's a gamble. It's a gamble.
Yeah.
But like teams who are gambling like that, they shouldn't be able to just pick up where they left off. And players like Sizen, players like Mark by Eight, players who are benched in the last split of the season, they shouldn't be worth zero. Like imagine you're two splits in, you've like last, obviously we only have two splits, but last season, imagine you're two splits in, you've done really well, you've made lands, you've like earned a bunch of points with your team, and then they kick you and you're worth nothing. And like, what is the incentive of for any team to pick you up? Whereas last season, who's the most high profile player who got benched in NA or EU going into the last split? Who had the most, who was the highest ranked player? It could be
probably Mark by Eight
in the first season, 2022. Yeah, Mark by Eight 2022 won the fall major. Came, I think, top 12 at the next major. They made the next major, then he got benched. Now, in that instance...
Extra got benched.
Oh, yeah, Extra last year, but they weren't doing as well.
Yeah, they were doing kind of as well.
They were kind of not
doing. But he was...
Yeah, Mark by in previous season, he just, like, got benched and he's worth 0 points. Nobody's going to pick him up. Like, but if you know, he's actually carrying over a lot of points, teams who are just outside the top five back then would have been thinking, let's pick up Mark by Eight, and now we're in the running. We can actually make Worlds.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, paying that buyout, whatever buyouts on his contract, orgs are going to seriously consider it. Whereas back then, they're like, why would we, you know, pay that huge buyout?
Yeah, just to keep him in contract jail.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Blast, if you're listening.
We're cooking.
Cook that, and we've got one more for you. Oh, we've got one more for you, Blast. We have many more.
Same with one more.
But we've got one more today because this relates to the LC that we were talking about at breakfast this morning. And I think this is another fantastic thing that has to happen. And that is the winner of the second split.
Yep.
If you win the second split, major. If you win the next major, if you win London, you automatically go to Worlds.
Automatic world spot.
So basically that means if you just formed for this split, you're a brand new team, you had no points, and even if you won the major, you wouldn't go to Worlds, you get an automatic qual spot at Worlds. I think that's like a given. Because it then still gives teams a chance that if the first split is a complete write-off, you can still form a new team. Mm. And then if you're that best team in the world for that second split, you win the major. Major two.
Worlds. Yeah.
Yeah. See you at Worlds.
Yep. You gotta have that team at the World Championship. And this is relevant because Team Liquid in 2021-22 season, they came in the last split. They made the major, and there was no way for them to make the World Championship. Even if they won the event, they would not qualify for Worlds because they were too far behind in points. And imagine you have Worlds a month later. It's like, wait, where's the team who just won London? Like, they didn't win.
Given
but
incentive.
If they did, you know, there has to be that path, I think, for teams to get in. It just makes more sense that the major, the winner of the last international event, doesn't matter how many points they've got. Oh, it's realized LCT and some other player they picked up, they, you know, qualified based on our other brilliant point system, and now they've won the event, they make Worlds. Like, that has to be better.
Give it a little incentive. It's very rare, it's unlikely, but it could have happened last season with Liquid. So
yeah, it didn't happen, but the fact that it could means that we have to discuss this, because there's no point waiting until it happens and then be like, oh no, how could we didn't foresee this? We actually have foreseen it. Like, we've talked about it. It could happen.
It gives the major a bit more like something as well. Like, you know, if you haven't qualified already, this new team.
Yeah, if you're just way out of the points, you scrape in NA 4 seed, It's whatever team Moist have acquired. They go in the Cinderella run and they win the major, but they're outside of the top 4 points. And it's like, oh, well, why did we even bother? You know, like, yeah, we're missing Worlds after winning a major. Like, the major winner for Major 2 winner should just be at Worlds.
Yeah.
And Worlds doesn't need to win.
I mean, that's an easy one, too, because it's, like, so unlikely that...
Just put it in.
A random team comes through and wins it anyway. But, like, if it does happen, it's great.
Yeah, the team right? who we win are probably already going to qualify. But just to, like, make it foolproof.
But what a move if, like, there was a top team or a couple of top players that were like, you know what, I don't know if this team, even though they might be guaranteed a world spot, like, I think we can make a better team. Kind of like how Ryze went to BDS and he's like, I don't care about the points, I care about winning worlds.
Yeah.
What if a team just, you know, blew up their points but said, I think we can do it. I think we can make the major. Yeah. I think we're going to win the major and then win worlds because the current team on, I don't think we can win worlds.
Yeah, they're like, that'd be crazy. Okay, I don't think we're going to make worlds with, like, whatever point through points. So let's just try and make a super team. Like,
yeah.
Now, that maybe goes against what we were saying before. Where
we said, but that's a little...
But I don't know. Aspect. Yeah, if you want to take the risk of blowing up your roster to try to win the major, that's pretty sick in the same way.
Story. So we're trying to create storylines, and I think that all these things do ultimately create storylines. But, I mean, unlike the format change, these things would need to be next season. I don't think we could do this season. It's too late to make a big change like that. But, hey, next season. Blast. We're here. We're trying to help.
Zoomjo mentioned if they're guaranteed a world spot, is there as much motivation to perform in the next major? Yes. Well, also we're only talking about the second major.
Oh, he's saying like both. I think just the second major.
Yeah, just the second major.
No, just the second one. No, first major winner going to worlds. I don't think that needs to happen. That's like just points.
Because you're probably already nearly there if you win the first major anyway. Yeah. But
yeah, just the second one. No, but also, like you said, if a team wins the first major, they're like, all right, we're at Worlds, let's just take the next playoff.
But even in the scenario of if it's like the first major, you win it, and then you get the auto bid to the World Championship, it's like, yeah, you would still want to win the second major.
But you wouldn't want a situation where a team's just like completely coasting, like taking it lightly. You want the competition to be fierce in the second split.
I don't know, that sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah, there's our two suggestions anyway. Let's get some individual points to share around to make the move, to a bit more stability at the top, help out the top players like Realize and stuff like that. And let's get auto bid major, world spot if you win that second major. These are two suggestions for the day, Blast. We know you're listening now after the AFL format change, so it's great that we can keep the format talk going on, Rizzo. We always get here.
This is different, though.
It's a bit different.
When you guys mix and match seeding right in front of me, that's where I start to lose focus. But when you talk about like an auto bit spot, I'm like, sure, yeah, that's not bad. Yeah.
Anyway,
I like the points thing. Points thing is good.
We've got a big day ahead, we're going to wrap it up here.
We're going to need to wrap.
We fit the 1 hour on the dot, but I guess we did start officially a bit later on, but. Yeah, that was it. A little LCK recap, I guess. And you'll see it all in the vlog. Once again, patreon.com/chalkcast. If we hit 700 patrons, we will release the entire career travel vlog. There's a lot of content in there.
There's a lot of content. We've got one more live stream, I believe. That's this time tomorrow. And there's a ton more recorded content, obviously, from the career trip as well. So we've got to go record some stuff right now for you guys. I believe we've got three bonus episodes and then the Korean candy tier list, which was the first patron goal. We're going to record it today.
We're doing it right now.
That's being all of the goal content, like the travel vlog, like the food tour vlog, Korean candy tier list, baseball vlog. All of that is going out on Rizzo's main channel, so it's not going to be on the Patreon behind the baby man $5 paywall. But yeah, all the bonus episodes, the regular bonus episode content we put out for the Patreon will be on the Patreon behind that baby man paywall. So be sure to check it out.
Don't mind it.
Soon over 50 videos on there, all available as soon as you pay the baby man $5.
Exactly. And that's why you should check out the Patreon.
You should.
But hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to us yap about Rocket League once again in our LCK finals adventure.
Yeah, you said stop plugging the Patreon because it's giving us more motivation.
Oh, there was actually a guy who said, please keep plugging the Patreon.
Plug it more.
On the newest
shout out
video.
To
yeah.
Plug it more. Real for you. That's for you.
Some guy didn't want it. Some guy wanted it more. So we're going to listen to the guy who wanted it more.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. If you missed it, any part of this, you can check it out on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. And we will see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Keep waving, guys.
Keep waving. Okay.
Keep it waving. Wave.